Take your Bible and turn over to Matthew, the book of Matthew in chapter 13. And we are in this series on the parables of Jesus. Am I on? All right. And we find ourselves here in Matthew chapter 13. We've been in Matthew 13 and Luke 13 quite frequently as of late. And there's several parables that Jesus speaks in these two chapters and passages. And today we're going to consider two parables, even though we're only going to dissect one of them. We're going to consider two parables together, and then, Lord willing, next week, dissect the other one. But the reason is because I believe they're speaking of the same thing, just in how they relate on different terms. But let's get some context here after we read the verses for our text here this morning. So we're going to look at verses 31 to 33 of Matthew chapter 13 for our text here this morning. The Bible says, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened." All right, let's get a little bit of a context here. Today we're going to consider the parable of the mustard seed and leaven. And again, we're only going to dissect one of them. We're going to consider the leaven today. But Jesus is still speaking to a multitude of people here. Chapter 13 and verse 1 says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in parables." All right, so here's our context. Many multitudes of people. And Jesus is in a boat, and he's speaking to these multitudes of people, and the Bible says he's speaking to them in parables. And Jesus is teaching them in parables, and he's not using anything but parables. Look in verse 10. "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" Look at verse 34. "And all of these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them." And so the disciples said, "Why are you speaking to them in parables?" And Jesus is only using parables as he's speaking to this multitude. And the reason for this is found in verses 13 and following. "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their ears, and hear with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." And so Jesus says, look, the reason I'm speaking to them in parables is because this people, their heart is waxed gross. Remember how we talked about how what that means? It means like a callous. They've hardened their heart and calloused their own heart to the truth. And Jesus wasn't speaking to them in parables to confuse people and to be mysterious. No, he was basically speaking in parables to give some people something to chew on who had already determined that they didn't want to hear it. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and then they what? Be converted. And so Jesus is speaking in parables because of the people's heart condition, really. And those who wanted to see and wanted to understand, who wanted to hear, they could. They were blessed. And they understood with their heart, because their heart condition was in the right place. So this is the context here for the parables that we're going to consider today. Now, inside of all of this, all of these and several parables Jesus gave in this context to the multitude, inside of all these parables or illustrations of truth, Jesus gave what are called the kingdom parables. And note in our text that in verse 31, "And he put forth, and another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like." Verse 33, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like. So inside of all of these parables, Jesus gives the kingdom parables. And some have said regarding the kingdom parables that these are the most difficult to understand of all the parables that Jesus gave, because Jesus does not interpret them for us like he often did with other parables. Often Jesus would give a parable and then later on he would give the meaning of it. And we've covered several of those. But the kingdom parables, Jesus doesn't do that with. He just gives it. And so for that reason, they are sometimes hard to understand. What exactly does Jesus mean by this? Because he doesn't interpret it like he does with others. And that's the case with the two parables we have before us today. I'm taking both of these parables into account, although we're just going to be dissecting the one. And the reason that I'm considering both of them together is because I believe they're both speaking about the same thing, but they're illustrating the effect it has upon different realms. Now, I believe that these parables here that Jesus gives, one with the mustard seed and then the other of the leaven, are regarding the kingdom of heaven. I believe that they refer to the penetrating effect of the gospel in this world. And the mustard seed would be the effect of the gospel that the gospel has in this entire world, but the leaven would speak of the penetrating effect of the gospel in an individual human heart. Now the Jews believed that their Messiah would be a great conquering king, and that he would establish and set up a great physical kingdom, greater than this world has ever known. And that is true. The Messiah, Jesus, will one day, future, set up his earthly kingdom, and he'll rule, and he'll reign, and it'll be the likes of which this world has never, ever known or seen. We call it the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, where he reigns for 1,000 years, he rules and reigns in righteousness. However, that was not Jesus' purpose in coming to the world the first time. Not to set up his earthly kingdom. Although Jesus did have a kingdom when he was here. Jesus said, it's the kingdom of heaven. Look over in John chapter 18 with me. John chapter 18. Verse 33, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. And so Jesus did have a kingdom, but he said it's not an earthly kingdom. It's not of this world. Jesus' kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. I want to define for you the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. They're one and the same. Look at Luke chapter 13. So in this parable here in Matthew 13, Jesus calls it the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. But in Luke chapter 13 and verse 21, we have a parallel passage here. Verse 20 says, and again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. In Matthew, he calls it the kingdom of heaven. In Luke, in the same parable, it's called the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are one and the same. Kingdom of heaven is isolated to Matthew. Matthew's the only one that uses it that way. And I think there are reasons for that, because Jesus is speaking to the Jews, namely. And they didn't believe in using the name of God, as we heard this morning, even in our Sunday school hour. And so Jesus referred to it as the kingdom of heaven. But they're one and the same. They're the same thing. They're interchangeable terms. But what is the spiritual kingdom of heaven, the spiritual kingdom of God? It's a spiritual thing, not a physical king. And what it is, it's the rule of God in the hearts of men, okay? This is the kingdom of God. It's the rule of God. What is a king? He's a ruler. What is his kingdom? The realm that he rules in. The kingdom of God is the rule of God in the hearts of men in this world. It's a spiritual realm. It's not the church, as so many in our culture and Christianity believe. It's not the church of Jesus Christ. Equating the church and the kingdom as the same has led to numerous interpretations of this parable that we're going to consider here. And if you believe the kingdom of God is the church, then the implications and the interpretations of this parable also change. There's another term that we need to know, because this term ties into the meaning of this parable. So we need to know, what is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God? It's the rule of God in the hearts of men. It's a spiritual kingdom. But there's another term, and that term is the preaching of the kingdom. And this is going to help us understand where this parable is going. Look with me in Matthew chapter 3. We need to define the preaching of the kingdom. What does that mean? What is that exactly? In Matthew chapter 3, in verse 1, the Bible says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Okay? Now, look with me in Luke chapter 16. So John the Baptist is preaching in the wilderness. He's saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The preaching of the kingdom. In Luke chapter 16, look with me in verse 16. "The law and the prophets were until John." So the Old Testament, the law and the prophets were up until John the Baptist. "Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it." All right, so we see the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God being preached. The law and the prophets until John. Since John the Baptist, since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. All right, now let's do some cross-referencing here. So we know that the preaching of the kingdom was since John the Baptist. Understand this? Go over to Mark chapter 1. What is this preaching of the kingdom? Mark chapter 1, in verse 1. "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, 'Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." All right, so here in Mark chapter 1 and verse 1, we find that the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ was with John the Baptist's ministry and his preaching. And he preached repentance for the remission of sins. Okay, so what do we find here? We find that the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ commenced with the preaching of John the Baptist. This gospel, which began with John's preaching, is called the gospel of Jesus Christ, verse 1 of Mark chapter 1. We also know that the beginning of the kingdom of heaven, the preaching of the kingdom, also commenced with John's preaching. These two things coincide. And so what does this tell us? It tells us that the gospel of Jesus Christ and the gospel of the kingdom, or the preaching of the kingdom of God, are one and the same. It's the gospel that is the preaching of the kingdom. And every man presseth into this spiritual kingdom, the rule of God in the hearts of men. The only way to fall under God's kingdom and have his rule in your heart is to be born again through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Jesus says, if we back up to our parable now, Jesus says, "Let me describe for you what my spiritual kingdom is like? Or how should I describe or explain to you what my kingdom is like? The kingdom of heaven is like unto. Everybody understand where we're going? Follow this? It's like a mustard seed, he said in our text. Something that's very, very small. Let's go back there, Matthew 13. Matthew 13 and verse 31, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven, the rule of God in the hearts of men through the gospel of Jesus Christ, is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven, the rule of God in the hearts of men through the gospel of Jesus Christ, is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. And so it's like a mustard seed, something very, very small at first that grows into a great tree. This is the effect of the gospel in this world. It's like leaven, something that works in secret and permeates. It's the effect of the gospel in a human heart. Now, there are other interpretations of the meaning of this parable, especially the one of the leaven, which is what we're going to consider today. And I'm going to say this in all sincerity and humility. I don't know everything. Jesus did not explain exactly what he meant in this parable. The kingdom of heaven parables, he didn't give an explanation for. And so, we need to trust the Spirit of God, and we need to compare Scripture with Scripture to come to an understanding of what this means. And there are some who say that leaven in the Bible is always used as a negative thing. And generally that is true. But I don't believe that's the case in this instance. Jesus is just using it as a general principle of how leaven works, and how it spreads, and how it permeates. But they say that it's always a negative in the Scriptures, and so then this interpretation must also be a negative. You follow what I'm saying here? And they say that the leaven that Jesus is talking about in this parable would be like false doctrine, or the leaven of the Pharisees. Because Jesus did say, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And their understanding is because all the Scriptures only use leaven in a bad way, and so this must also be a negative as well. But the problem that I have with that is the implication then of verse 33. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. If it's a bad thing, it's the leaven of the Pharisees, false doctrine, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. What's the implication? The implication is that the entire kingdom of God is permeated with false doctrine, and the whole lump, the whole thing is ruined, and therefore the kingdom of God is a colossal failure. I don't think that's true. I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about. The entire thing would be ruined if that were true. I'm going to give you the interpretation of this parable as I understand it. And that's the effect of the gospel in a human heart. Leaven. Let's talk about leaven for a second. The word leaven here that Jesus uses, in verse 33, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. The word leaven means to ferment. It means boiling up. All right? We know what the nature of leaven is, or yeast. It's to permeate, or it's to penetrate. And its purpose and effect is to make the meal like itself. So when that yeast is put into that dough, it permeates and it affects the whole thing, to make the whole thing like itself, all right? It's the purpose of leaven or yeast is to impress its own character on the meal, penetrating it totally and assimilating the nature of the dough to its own nature. It's not something like simply just coming into contact with the meal or with the dough like a hand might do. And note, in the parable, Jesus says that the leaven was put into meal, all right? It's not just coming into contact with it like a hand might do. You know, a hand comes into contact with the meal, and it can move it about and so on, but it wouldn't actually alter the state of the meal. Are you following me? The purpose and effect of the yeast is to put its own life into the meal and penetrate with its own living nature. The application here is this. It's the same thing with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The nature of the leaven is to make the meal like itself, and so it is with the nature of the gospel. The nature of the gospel is to radically change and alter those who receive it. The nature of Christ is to penetrate a life and to assimilate the believer to himself, putting his own life into every part of our being. There are some things that we can learn from this parable regarding the gospel of Jesus Christ and the effect it has on a human heart. First of all, I want you to read this verse with me again, verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like, all right, so the rule of God in the hearts of men is like unto leaven. Leaven permeates. The purpose of it is to radically change and alter what it's in. And we're referring to it as the gospel. But note here that the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal. The first thing that we learn here is that God employs human agency for the conversion of a soul. Salvation belongs to the Lord, yes. But note that this woman took and hid that leaven in the meal. What is the leaven? It's the gospel, all right? What is the meal? It's a human heart. This woman took and hid that gospel, if you will, into the human heart. Leaven was taken and deliberately placed into that meal. What's the application? The gospel needs to be taken and deliberately placed into the hearts of men, and God has chosen you and God has chosen me to do that very thing. Look with me in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. That's right. Anybody. You call on the name of the Lord, you're going to be saved. Look at verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay, so we know that if a person calls on the name of the Lord, they're going to be saved. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The person needs to hear the word of God in order to come to a place of faith for them to be saved. And whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. But look at verses 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Listen, the power to convert a soul comes from without. Man doesn't have self-leavening power within him. The leaven or the gospel must be lodged into a heart so that it can begin to work. And God employs you and me to do that very thing. This woman took that leaven and hid it in the meal. The leaven is the gospel. The meal is a human heart. Somebody else took it and put it there. God has given us a responsibility to be a preacher of the gospel. How shall they hear in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have that they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? God gives us opportunities like Great Commission Day, for example. You know what? We've got ministries in our church ready made for you to get plugged into so that you can be obedient to what God wants you to do. It's a shame if one of God's children has no desire to be a witness for Jesus Christ. It's a shame. And you're being disobedient. And guess what else you're doing? According to our Sunday school lesson this morning, you're defaming the name of the Lord. We've got a great commission day. A ready-made opportunity to get plugged in and be obedient to the Lord. You know what? You need to be here. You need to participate. Why? Not because I said so, but because the Lord said so, and it's for His glory and His honor. You got your personal witness to coworkers, friends, neighbors. Are you a personal witness for the Lord? Is it a part of you? Is it part of you? Listen, part of your life to be a servant of Jesus Christ and to see this world and see people around us who are lost souls, who are bound for eternity. And it's my job to give them, to lodge that gospel, to say a word that the gospel may be lodged in their heart and then begin to work. Ladies, in your homes, to your children, do you preach the gospel to them? You've got a ready-made opportunity and little souls that need the gospel lodged in their hearts. So it can begin to work like the leaven to permeate and to spread and to affect the whole, to radically change the nature of whatever it's in. Saint of God, be faithful to lodge that gospel. That woman took on purpose, intentionally, that leaven, and she put it and hid it in the meal. Second thing I want you to learn with me this morning is that the outward appearance may seem unlikely and it may seem insignificant. What do I mean by that? Well, the Bible says in our text there that she took it and she hid it in the meal. It was hidden inside the meal. At first, you couldn't tell that it was there or that it even had any effect at all. That meal or that leaven might have been hidden, but it certainly was not lost. Leaven, what does it do? Does it just radically change in an instant the thing that it's in? No. Leaven works gradually. It works slowly. In the process, it begins to penetrate and to permeate from part to part until the whole thing is affected. And so it is with the gospel, my friend. You know what? We may not see results swiftly in a person, but it doesn't mean that the gospel is not there, and it doesn't mean that it's not at work in a person's heart, in a person's soul. You know, I've known people who are just so adamant about, I'll never set foot in that church. That was their heart attitude. And maybe it was, you know, a special banquet or something. Hey, friend, we're having a banquet. Why don't you come? Oh, I never set foot in that church. Well, we're just having a banquet. And why don't you come on over? And so they finally consent. Okay, not going to hurt anything. Maybe it's a Christmas program or something. I'll only go when if it's my grandkids or something like that. And that's their heart attitude, but then they come, and then they hear the gospel, and it's planted and lodged in their heart, and then all of a sudden, and you don't see it, and you don't know what's happening, but God begins to work, and that gospel begins to permeate like leaven, and sooner or later, we start to see someone's heart begin to change and to soften, and maybe they're starting to come around just a little bit more when they wouldn't before. Is it because we're just great people and so special? So kind and loving. Yes, we're all kind and loving, special people. But it's the effect of the gospel in a person's heart that makes the difference. What am I saying? I'm saying that we may not be able to see it on the surface or immediately, but that doesn't mean it's not there. So take this into heart. You know, when we go on Great Commission Day and we go door knocking and we're not able to necessarily talk to somebody, but maybe we can leave the tract in their hand. We don't know what the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the gospel is going to do in a person's heart. Oh, we get so, no one wants to listen. This is so intimidating, and I don't know what to say. And I just, we make all kinds of reasons and all kinds of excuses. Because I don't feel comfortable. But in reality, God told me to do this. It's not my job to bring conviction to somebody or make them listen. It's my job just to give them the gospel. And let the gospel begin to penetrate and to work in a person's heart. Go door knocking. Knock on someone's door. Leave them a gospel tract at the grocery store. Say a word, something to your friends, to your neighbors. Why? Because the gospel is powerful. Maybe you say a simple word to a coworker who's hurting. You don't know what that gospel is going to do in a person's heart. Maybe even some attending church here who hear the gospel regularly. We can't see it on the surface. That leaven is hidden inside of the meal, but that doesn't mean it's not working. What's the admonition here? The admonition is don't stop giving the gospel. Don't stop praying for those who've heard it. Don't stop in your witness. Don't be disheartened. Don't be discouraged. The gospel is alive, and it's at work with activity and life inside of a person. Listen, here's the thing. The gospel will always bring somebody to a crossroads. A person, understand this, a person cannot hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and have it lodged in their heart and not be at work somehow. It's alive. God promised that it would be, okay? Understand this. It will always bring somebody to a crossroads. Somebody said, well, so and they never got saved. Just because somebody didn't get saved doesn't mean that the gospel wasn't working. A person has a free will and a choice to make. And the gospel has brought them to a crossroads where they have to choose to accept it and to receive more or to reject it. The gospel is going to work one way or another. The point is, the outward appearance may seem unlikely, it may seem insignificant, but that doesn't mean it's not at work. The woman took and she hid that leaven inside of the meal. And then if our verse says, she hid it in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. And what I take from this is that the change that this leaven produced was radical. Although gradual, it was radical and it was final. The change that it produced would eventually be made known. The whole thing was affected. The whole thing was leavened. And listen, this is emblematic of the spread of the gospel in a person's heart. The gospel seeks to impress its own character wherever it has been lodged. Listen, the gospel seeks to make the meal like itself, putting its own life in the meal. And this is exactly what Jesus Christ and the gospel will do in a person's heart. This is why salvation and true conversion is said to make a person a new creature. The whole of it has become new. The whole of it has changed. According to 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. That's the old life. Behold, all things are become new. You can say whatever you want. Oh, I'm saved, I'm saved. But the reality is, if your life has not changed, you don't have salvation. Oh, you're just mean and rude. I take it up with the Lord. I'm sorry. Anybody who's truly saved, anybody, will tell you. There is a marked difference in who I used to be compared to who I am today. Every single person who has ever been saved can and will give that testimony without exception. If you're saved, you're going to have a desire to be obedient to God. You're not going to say, well, okay, what's changed about me? What's different? Oh, well, I read the Bible now. Anybody can read the Bible. What's the inside like? What's the inside like? What's changed on the inside that ultimately works its way to the outside? Has the spirit changed? The attitude changed? A desire to please and obey God changed? A desire to love the brethren? Has that changed? Read 1 John chapter 5. The whole book of 1 John, actually. This and this and this and this and this. These are all marks of genuine Christianity. And John said, these things have I written unto you. What things? All of these things that would be in the life of a believer. A hatred for sin. A love for the brethren. A love for the things of God. Go on down the list. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. The change that it produces is radical, although gradual, and it's final. Salvation and true conversion makes a person brand new. And what does that mean? Listen, the life of the Lord's thoughts are put into our thinking so that every thought is brought into under the captivity of Christ. The life of the Lord's love is put into our heart so that we're unselfish and giving. The life of His righteousness is brought into our conscience so that the law of right is the rule of our life. I cannot disobey my Lord. I need to do right. Yes, I fail, but my heart and my desire above everything else is to do right. That's the rule of my life if I'm truly a child of God. The life of His obedience is put into our will so that it's our desire to do His will, the will of the Father. You see, His life is put into our life, and the whole thing is radically changed. But I want you to note lastly with me that favorable conditions are necessary for it to work successfully. That leaven was hid in what? In meal, right? It wasn't hid in stones upon which there would be no effect. It was hid in meal. You know what? You give leaven or yeast the right temperature and you give it favorable materials and about nothing will stop it from growing and permeating and affecting. A freight train is going to stop sooner than leaven when you give it favorable materials and the right temperature. So it is with the gospel and a heart that is ready to receive it. The power of the gospel to bring forth fruit is unstoppable if a person's heart is open and humble before God. In Matthew 13, Jesus gave another parable. It was the parable of the sower. And in that parable of the sower, He lists the different kinds of soils. The different kinds of soils are the hearts of men. If you get to verse 23 of Matthew 13 here, Jesus said, "But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30." Listen, the heart, the good soil of a person's heart that's ready for the gospel, it will bring forth fruit. The eyes of a person's understanding will be open to their sin. They're going to understand their need of forgiveness, and they are going to respond to the gospel because the heart condition makes all the difference. Favorable conditions are necessary for it to work successfully, to bring forth fruit. Let me close with this. You might be here today and you're not saved. You may have said you're saved, but there's no real evidence of a changed life. It doesn't seem as though there's a real desire to obey God, to love God's people, to love His Word, to follow Him in obedience. If you've got a profession, but this seems to be the description of you, you better think again about whether or not you're really saved. And if you're not saved, it's because the condition of your heart is not right. The condition of the heart needs to change so that the gospel will be effective. But maybe, just maybe, that's exactly what the gospel is doing. Like the leaven, it's gradually working, gradually changing and affecting your soul and your heart. I would say to you, if you're here and you're not saved today, come to Christ today. Let the gospel effectually work in you. And if you're here today and you're a saint of God, you haven't been faithful to take that gospel, that leaven, and lodge it in someone's heart, maybe you need to be revived, need to be changed in your thinking. However the Lord is speaking to your heart, you respond today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for teaching and truth from your word. Lord, I'm thankful for how sound it is and how much sense it makes. It's so easy and ready for us to apply it into our daily living. Father, I'm also thankful for the effect of the gospel in a human heart, that it's alive and that it's powerful, and that it begins to work, even unnoticed for a time. But eventually, the whole thing is going to be affected. Eventually, a person has to come to a crossroads. Are they going to receive it and allow for more? And have their life radically changed? Or are they going to reject it and close their heart off to the truth of God and not submit to His will? Father, I pray this morning, there are some among us who are not saved, that you'd draw them today, that today would be the day they'd finally yield their will to God. And Lord, I pray for the saints of God. Lord, that you'd help us, strengthen us to be faithful, faithful witnesses for Jesus Christ, and to know and understand that the effect of the gospel on a human heart is not our doing. That's out of our control. But we can faithfully give it, and then we can trust you to accomplish your will with it. Speak to each heart, and may each one respond according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.